Our next guest visits us every other Thursday, and has most recently submitted a letter to Governor Ned Lamont asking him to use some of his executive order that the governor loves to use to ban Secretary of State Denise Merrill from sending a mass mailing with absentee ballot applications for the general election this upcoming November, because it has already become a cluster, you know what. We will bring, welcome back to the show, Senate Republican leader Len Fasano. Len, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. How are you this morning, Senator?
Good, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. Boy, every time I turn around, I mean, you've reading the papers and everything, you are all over it. But this has got to be something that needs to be done, probably more than many other issues that are before you right now. And that's banning the mass mailings of these absentee ballots. I know you've submitted a 6-page letter to the governor's office.
Right. You know, what I'm trying to say is that let's just look at the history of what happened with Denise Merrill. She said she was going to do this for the primary. A lot of us said, listen, you got to be very careful because you're not set up. It's going to cause a problem. She said, I got this. She did it. The whole system turned out to be a miserable failure. Now, Denise Merrill's out there saying it wasn't a failure. It worked out great. But if it worked out great, why is she abandoning it for the general election? If it was so perfect, why not stay with it? Because she knows it had errors. So what she said was it had errors. She's not admitting that it was perfect. But what I'm going to do is I am going to send out applications for absentee ballots, and then you town clerks take care of all the rest of it. Basically, the system doesn't work. I couldn't make it work. But you know what? I'm going to force the problem at your doorstep. Figure it out. And the town clerk said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're not geared up for this. We can't take a tsunami of applications that come in and turn them around by statute in 3 days. We don't have that ability. You're going to be sending out applications that when they come back, we have to vet to make sure the person is on our voting rolls, make sure the person is a registered voter, then make a ballot and then mail it. We can't do that within 72 hours. It is impossible. And basically she's saying, tough, deal with it.
Yeah.
What? She owes a greater responsibility in that position, a greater responsibility to the people of the state of Connecticut. And she's ignoring it. And in fact, she's making it worse. She disenfranchised 6,000 voters, didn't vote because of her system, at least 6,000 voters.
But yet she calls it a success.
She calls it, and if it was a success, why isn't she doing it for the general election? If the whole system worked for the primary, why is she not doing it in the general election? And that's because it was a failure, and she knows it. And it's going to be, there's 135,000, as I understand it, absentee ballots for the primary. And that was too much for the system to handle. There's going to be over 1 million, according to some reports, absentee ballots. How are these town clerks going to handle this? The town clerks stepped up to the plate for the primary, and they went crazy. They worked weekends and nights. They were beyond, above and beyond the call of duty because even though they're upset at Denise Merrill, their obligation was to get the vote out.
Sure.
And they understood that obligation, and they worked hard to the best of their ability to achieve that end. And they made Denise Merrill look, the program look, halfway successful because they worked hard, not Denise Merrill. And Denise Merrill thanks them by saying, well, now I'm going to give you the whole problem and no resources.
Yeah, and
good
let's
luck. See you later.
Yeah, and we both know that there's only a small percentage of people, sadly, that vote in the primary. I mean, that's just a fact. It's unfortunate, but it's only a fraction of the people right. That vote in the primary.
And if he can't handle it with that fraction, what makes you think times 10 you're going to be able to handle it?
Yeah, there,
that's the problem, Gary.
And we receive calls, both on and off the air, or even on our Facebook page, that from people who have received not only the, an absentee ballot for themselves, but for their deceased spouse, who has been deceased for over a year. We've also received notice from someone, one of our listeners, where they didn't receive their absentee ballot at all. So you got one household that is received two, despite only one person living there, and you got somebody else who didn't receive it at all.
So when they get the absentee ballot application, what happens is you get the application, you send it to the town clerk. The town clerk has to go to their list and make sure that that person is a registered voter. And I think the town clerks are pretty good at doing that. So if someone were to take a deceased ballot and send it in, it would show up in the voter rolls at that town clerk's, presumably, most of the time, and it would be canceled out. But all that takes time. And if you just let the process, if Denise Merle would just tell people, if you want to vote by absentee because of COVID, here's how you do it. Contact your town clerk. Download the application. Send it to your town clerk. This way, it wouldn't come in a tsunami effect. It would be spread out. Number two, the town clerks could take the time and vet it, as opposed to getting all these and having 72 hours to do them all back. And Denise Merle doesn't care. She wants to be, I don't know what her thought process is.
Yeah.
She's out there saying after the primary, look what we did. We're one of the few states that did this. She wants to be heralded as some whiz kid on this ballot stuff, even though it was a failure. And I got to tell you, the media, not your show and other show talk shows like yours, but the general media press out there have been very disappointing to me in bringing out the truth of what happened. Very disappointing. Recently been a little bit better, but they've been very disappointing to say, Denise Merle, where's the contract that you have with the mailhouse? How come you won't show us the contract? And because there is no contract, Gary, that in a meaningful way that says you have to send out ballots by this date and send out. Denise Merle, did you follow the statutes for absentee ballots when you did it? The answer is no, but I've asked her. None of the press have asked her that. None of the press have asked for the emails between her office and the mailhouse. You'll be surprised if they see them. She won't give them to us.
That third party that you're referring to, they're out of state, right?
They're out of state, but they did it for Rhode Island. But okay. Rhode Island is set up differently than we are.
Yeah.
So they have some abilities to do something, at least Rhode Island related. But Denise Merle doesn't have a contract that's precise. And there's emails she won't give up. What is she hiding? And the press doesn't seem to care. The press doesn't seem to care. This was Republicans. You know, the falsehood, the myth that I hear from the media out there is Republicans want to suppress vote, but they can never tell you how or when or an example of it. And we've got an example of a Democratic Secretary of State suppressing 6,000 votes, and there's no narrative on that? We got a Secretary of State that doesn't have a legitimate, when I say legitimate, contract that talks about you're going to mail out ballots by this date, by that date, that statutorily approved, that hurts votes, could suppress votes, and in fact, in this case, did. I don't see the media on that.
But isn't
this a bit of a Republican governor and a Republican secretary of state? They would have been fried two times over.
Oh,
but
of course.
Because this media hates Republicans. This is what they're doing, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. I got to be honest with you, Gary.
Yeah, I believe me, I'm with you, and I think our audience certainly echoes your sentiment exactly. We're speaking with Senate Minority Leader, Senate Republican Leader Len Fasano. Len, to that point, is Ned Lamont, our governor, has issued another executive order extending when absentee ballots can be accepted or mailed by, I believe it's now 3 days after Election Day. So this is kind of interesting, where Election Day, it seems like, is no longer the day when we find out who won the election.
I'm curious, because I'll be honest with you, I'll be straightforward with you. I have not seen that order. I know the order for the primary was on or before the primary date. So if there is a new order that went out saying 3 days, they could be counted. So if they were postmarked on or before August 11th, they could be counted on that Wednesday or Thursday for the primary. Are you indicating to me there's a new order that says for general election, they can be postmarked after the election?
All right, let me do a little research on that. I thought yes, but I could be wrong. And so before the last thing I'd ever want to do is disseminate rumor or rhetoric or anything like that. So.
I understand. For the primary was if they were dated on the 11th.
Right.
They could be counted on Wednesday or Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah.
That's the last order I saw on any absentee ballot. That doesn't mean that the way these orders come out in some secrecy until one of us finds it and starts talking about it, because not all of it's done by press release. I have not heard that one yet. That would be very disheartening, and I'd be surprised if I have not heard of it as of this morning, but doesn't mean it's not true. But even on that, you know, what happened was, so you come off the voter roll if you want to go vote in your district. They put a asterisk or some indication if they sent you a ballot or if the town clerk received the ballot. In this case, the town clerk, if you went in and you got an absentee ballot, you could have voted on Tuesday and mailed the ballot in for absentee on Tuesday. And unless there was some cross-reference, you actually could have voted twice by doing what I just said.
Oh, my goodness. Are you familiar with these return envelopes that indicate which party you are registered to?
I am not.
I have actually seen video of this. It's been brought to our attention from a number of listeners. And they've actually not only spoken about it on our airwaves, but would subsequently send us video and photos of this. Apparently, on the return envelope for your absentee ballot, there is a barcode and a series of numbers. And in the series of numbers, it'll be a set of six numbers and then a blank space and then another set of numbers. But there is an R or a D that initiates one of the sets of numbers. I think it's the second set of numbers. And it's consistent. For example, there is a person who is a Republican, and she has an absentee ballot. And on her return envelope, in other words, the envelope that she would submit her ballot, there's an R that begins the number code. Again, this is on the outside of the envelope. She lives with her brother. Her brother is a Democrat, and he has a D on the incorporated in the numbers. It's not buried somewhere in the numbers. It actually begins the number code, and it's right by the barcode, right above the barcode. And she said, well, let me check with my neighbor, because my neighbor is also a Republican. And then so she checked and she said, did you get your absentee ballot? Oh, yes, I got it right here. Can I just see something? And she says, let me see your return envelope. And sure enough, there was an R on the number code. Again, it's on the outside portion of. So in other words, your letter carrier, anybody that touches the ballot or the envelope, whoever has access to it actually knows the origin, the party affiliation of the person who that envelope the ballot contains. She went to another friend down the street who she knew was a Democrat and asked the same question. And sure enough, there was a D in the same location on that envelope. I don't know if you've heard about this or seen the video or seen any photos, but we're hearing about it left and right here.
I have not. I'll have to look into it. No one's brought that to my attention. I don't know if that's standard, if that's always happened, or if it's something new. So I cannot speak I cannot speak to that at all, but I will definitely now look into what that is all about.
Yeah, please do that. I appreciate that. And our listeners, would be grateful if you could look into that. So I'm just reviewing. I only have a couple of minutes left. This six-page letter, it's very comprehensive. You go into great detail, and you articulate your concerns very well. I guess my, kind of knowing, granted, I didn't serve under this governor's administration, but do you think it will fall on deaf ears? Do you think, what do you expect the result from your efforts in writing this six-page letter will be?
You know, I wish I knew. I do think that the administration might have had some concerns when this process was being performed by the Secretary of State in the primary, but probably had some reluctance to step on it because, you know, if it was a success, then they would look like they were impeding votes. Knowing that was a failure, and knowing now that the Secretary of State has said, I can't fix it, so I'm going to push the failure on to the town clerks. By the way, it's Machiavellian, because if it goes off because the town clerks work really hard and there's no problem, Denise Wills is going to stand up and take applause and bow.
That's right.
And if it's a complete failure, she gets to turn and say, wasn't me, it was the town clerks. So she put herself in an all-win situation. That being said, I just hope the governor says, look, the town clerks feel they're going to be inundated. Madam Secretary, don't do it. If you want, educate people on how to vote by absentee. Oh. Tell them how to do it. Show them how to get it off the web and all these other things. But I'm ordering you not to send out the letter. That's what I'm hoping he will do. I will call the governor personally and have a conversation with him. He's always been generous with his time to me. I will call him personally, and I will definitely tell him my thoughts, and that will be done next week. I think he might have taken a few days off, and that's understandable. Next week, I will be calling and talking to him and trying to push. And I don't know what will happen. I'm hoping he'll see the ways.
All right, so let's do a follow-up when we get together on these airwaves in 2 weeks. Maybe you can look
Sounds
into
good.
that not only get the answer from the governor in regards to that, but also the issue that I just brought to your attention with the envelope with the R or the D, depending on your affiliation.
Sounds good.
Thanks so much for being with us. I know your time is very valuable, and we really appreciate your time with us this morning.
Gary, thank you.
Always a pleasure.